Hello and welcome to the Minimalist Tech Podcast. Today we are going to talk about some digital minimalism, and particularly we're going to talk about quitting YouTube strategies. So this is something that maybe a lot of people don't even think about doing. Once they recognize that YouTube is a thing, they're immediately amazed and overwhelmed and hooked, and there's no going back. And it is the second most popular search engine. It is just massive. There is really no word to describe like how much content is on this platform. It does seem to be. I'm not even sure exactly who owns YouTube. I know that there's a company called Alphabet, who sort of owns, I believe they own Google, and then they own YouTube and several other companies. I'm not sure exactly how that's structured, but I'm not 100% sure that YouTube is really like a huge sort of cash cow for I guess Google or the bigger company. It's obviously like an important strategy for them to have, but in order to let people use the platform for free and upload as much video as people upload, I mean, the amount of servers that have to be functioning to be serving this level of content is like, it's just unmatched, I guess is maybe the word. It's just, it's unbelievable. And so there's obviously a cost for these things. Obviously, advertisers are very interested in the platform. That's why you see, you know, you used to see one ad per video, and now you see multiple ads per like ad break. So you like, you know, one video depending on the length, you could end up seeing many ads. Or there's obviously a paid option where you can sort of skip the ads, and all these things are very interesting to me. I'm not an expert on the subject. I don't know what I'm talking about, but what I'm interested in is if you were wanting to quit YouTube because, you know, the amount of content that's on there's just never enough time to view, and it's a very addictive platform. And so, well, in my opinion, and this is all my opinion, is all entertainment purposes only, as always. But the question is, once you know that YouTube exists, once you understand the amazing content that's on there and the amazing creators and just video after video of just wonderfully produced stuff, sometimes just silly stuff, sometimes it's short, sometimes long, you know, there's just, once you know that it exists, it becomes like a thing that you can end up using like every single day. And from, you know, one of those things, like you could easily spend hours a day on it because it's like TV, like times, you know, it's like, in my opinion, it's much better than TV because you can search for content that's relevant to you, that's interesting to you. But at the same time, you can waste a lot of time on it. And so I'm not going to talk about so much about like why of quitting YouTube, but more of like, if you wanted to do so, how would you do so? And so I just made a short list, and we'll just go through these one by one. So the first thing is, there is something where if you have a curious mind and you want to know things, you want information and you just love to learn, it's easy to learn about as many subjects as you possibly can all at once, right? And it's just a matter of like how you can fit enough into your schedule to just consume this cool and interesting information. And you can really start to do this thing where you're padding your knowledge of ahead of when you actually need to apply any of this knowledge. Some of it's just gonna be more entertainment based where you wanna learn interesting facts. But like a lot of this stuff is for like, people will say, well, there's so much good information, there's so many things that you can learn on it. So this is more for like that level of sort of reasoning, that if you, instead of learning things ahead of time, which can actually create a lot of stress, it's easier to learn things that are currently applicable to things that you're trying to solve. So for example, if you're like interested in house renovation or car repair or other how-to videos or tutorials, you could easily spend all of your time looking at these things. Let's just use house renovation as a thing, right? You have an idea, you want to kind of, you know, you're interested in doing that. So you just start watching these videos. Well, one thing is you may not own a house. So why would you need to watch renovation videos, right? It's really, at that point, it's more like entertainment. Like the point to watch it is when you have a house and when you have a specific room that you are ready to renovate, like within a short distance of time. Maybe give yourself a 3-month padding or something like that, but you have the funds set aside, you know, you're ready to go and do that. Then you want to start looking at the information, right? Because otherwise you're just like, it's not really learning. It's like more of just entertainment. Same with car repair. Like if you have this idea, like you want to repair vehicles, and so you start watching all these car repair videos to get the information, but you don't have a garage or a car to work on. Like this is where there's a separation. Like the time to start watching this stuff is when you have the car in the garage, you know, and you've bought like your sort of project car, right? And it's sitting there and you're ready to go. And when you have these things, you don't need to really rely on YouTube as much. Like it's more of just like maybe a supplement for specific things, but there's actually other ways that you can learn. And for example, you can learn by experience and trial and error, or you can make a video about what you're doing if you want to share what you're learning, right? There's maybe a little bit of fear of like, of not doing something perfectly. So you're sort of relying on like trying to pad your information ahead of time. But in reality, if you never apply it, you're just wasting your time. So the first thing is knowing when you need to know something. And that can also be broken down based on a category of things, right? Like any given subject has a multitude of sort of layers, of the rabbit hole of information that you can go into. And it's in the beginning, like I guess you want to get an overview understanding, but you can end up spending your time trying to master everything. But you really are better off looking at a specific piece of that subject matter, right? One at a time. And again, while you're getting experience with it, while you're working with it, and when you're actually doing that, the video content isn't as important, right? You can also like read books and things like that and get more information that way. There is a very big difference of learning while you're doing something and just watching something for the hope that you'll do it eventually. So that is the first thing. The second thing is, I guess it's sort of connected, right? Which is where you're watching a bunch of similar tutorials makes you feel like you're learning more. But really, if you stick with one tutorial course or one how-to book and actually consume that content, like let's say you buy one book about a given subject and you actually spend the time reading that one book, even if that's not the best book ever, or the perfect book, or the book that has all the information, or does it exactly how everybody else does it. If you actually go through and read that book and consume that information, then you might actually go through that book again. Like if you were to go through that same book 3 or 4 times, right, which is like might feel more painstaking than watching a bunch of tutorial videos, it's actually more beneficial because you're actually learning. Like learning is, it can be kind of a slow process. Like it kind of, especially if you're used to consuming video content, like, you know, like in this YouTube fashion, then it might feel slow and sort of painstaking as you're like reading a physical book or going through that. You know, it doesn't feel as good at first to watch, you know, to read an actual book than it is to watch a bunch of videos. But this is not the Matrix. You know, you're not gonna, just because we have video content doesn't mean that you can just learn information faster. Learning takes time and effort and energy, and it's better when you're, again, getting the actual, like your trial and error, right? So you're reading a book, you're trying something out. You're reading it, you're trying it. You're doing the little exercises in between. Like, that is a more useful thing. So the second thing is all about that tutorial fallacy. Like, well, there's all these good tutorials on there and I need to watch them. Well, it's really easy to sort of skim through tutorials, or, you know, again, even if it's one subject, you can end up watching a bunch of tutorials but never really mastering the subject matter. So be careful with that. The next one is YouTube recently removed the dislike button. So it already was difficult to sort of, you know, once you know what YouTube is and kind of get hooked on YouTube, to not waste a bunch of time on it. But now that they've removed this feature, which is the dislike button, then it's much easier now to waste time, and it's harder to discern useful videos from time-wasting videos. So this is just another, like, sort of motivational reason to let YouTube go, because they clearly don't, like, respect the viewer's time as much. And as a business, like, their job is to get you to watch as much as possible. So with this, like, you might end up spending a lot more time on videos that are really not useful, because they've taken away a feature that can help users discern whether something is actually useful or not. The next thing is, you can only master a small amount of subjects. And with YouTube and the vast amount of information and different subjects that are available, it can make you feel like you can learn everything. But really, you know, you can get bits and pieces of a lot of things, and that's interesting. And if you're interested in that, do that. But if you're really trying to master something or master a subject, then you just can't. It's sort of against how YouTube functions. Like, certainly you can do deep dives and there's a lot of videos on one given subject, but because there's all these other subjects that are available, it's just really enticing to go, like, from what you were actually trying to supposedly master to, like, some other subject and then another subject, and then you're watching cat videos and then you've wasted, you know, time again. So the how-to is, I'm going to go similarly to, like, I've gone through the social media, like deleting Facebook, deleting Instagram, that sort of thing. And my process for that was to go through post by post, delete one at a time. You can listen to that previous podcast. But I'm thinking that it's a similar process for YouTube, right? Like, going through one by one, like deleting all of your videos from all of the playlists, all of your watch later videos, like if there's something truly you actually really need to watch, go ahead and watch those and just reduce that amount of watch later videos until there's nothing left. And then the same thing with all of your playlists. Again, like, delete them all. Delete all of your likes, because they'll show you that. Unfortunately, they don't give you a list of your dislikes, but I would recommend doing, like, deleting all of those too, but you can't do that. Which is really, it's a strange thing. I don't like it. I think it's weird that YouTube is doing this, and whatever. And do this for all, like, if you have multiple user accounts on YouTube, then do this for each one of those. And the final thing I'll mention was not necessarily a how-to, but it's just that we, I think, and I actually kind of worry about this because of the how people are getting it on iPads and iPhones and things when they're really young. So we have this thing called an imagination, and that we hardly use because we've just, you know, been consuming content since we can remember, right? But what's interesting to me is to become, and part of minimalism and digital minimalism is to become more of a producer rather than a consumer, rather than a consumer of stuff or the consumer of data. Like, you want to be creating things. And in order to create things, it's helpful to access your imagination. And in order to access your imagination, it's hard to do that while you're watching videos and consuming content and scrolling and all this kind of stuff. You need to create some space for yourself to just not have audio and visual noise, right? Regardless of how useful that is. I think this is a point that's really quite interesting, because if you, like, especially for folks who, like, if you grew up with the internet and with smartphones and with, you know, consoles and everything else, and you never really had time to be bored or to just get into your imagination, like, if you were literally, you know, on your phone before you went to bed when you were, like, from the time you were young, like, there may be, like, this a vast, I would argue, like, vast expansion, expansive vastness of things that you can create and things that you can just enjoy creating and bringing into the world, like making your own music and making your own stuff and making, you know, crafts or writing or art, or, you know, if you want to make your own video games or whatever you want to do, there's, like, you need to kind of think about, you need to lean into your imagination. And so I think what we do is, like, as soon as we have a thought, we want to go look it up. We want to go search it. And then we find a video about it, and then we watch the video, and it's like, we don't get a chance to sort of develop that imagination or whatever that initial idea was, because we're so reliant on the information that we're trying to gather, as opposed to allowing that information to come from yourself. It doesn't mean you have all the answers. It just means that you have time to think about what you want to create. You know, imagine. Like, use your imagination. Like, this used to be a thing, like, with, like, Peter Pan movies and stuff, which was really exclusively known for adults. Like, adults, when they get older, they lose their imagination and they forget the wonder of being young and wonder of being kids. But now, it's like, I think there's a danger with, like, even kids are not necessarily leaning into their imagination because of the overwhelming amount of content and entertainment that's available. So I would suggest, like, that's a thing. Like, your imagination is a thing that you may be undervaluing and that you may want to lean into. And so it's, you know, it's like a muscle that maybe has atrophied a little bit, but I think I don't know how much it can atrophy. I think more it's just something that it's easy to ignore or just not give space for. So, you know, as amazing as YouTube is and, you know, all this content is, what might be interesting is to allow yourself to imagine the possibilities. Just think about, and I don't want to use the word think, more like imagine. Just imagine, be creative, you know, come up with interesting things. Think about stories that are interesting. Like, I keep saying think. Imagine stories that are interesting, you know, like characters. Like, this is why we're so, ultimately, like, this is why we consume a lot of, you know, movies and music and things like that, is because we are inherently, I think, interested in good story. You know, I kind of think that a lot of this comes down to, like, maybe we're inherently sort of, like, it's built into us to be around a fireplace or, you know, a shared sort of fire, campfire, I'll say, and share stories, hear stories, tell stories. That's maybe something that's, like, really kind of deeply embedded into us. And so when we have, like, you know, television gives that flickering glow of like a, you know, a campfire, right? And then we're sort of sitting, you know, we're sort of involved in this to an extent based on the camera's view, and we can be a part of this story and listen to the story, and it really kind of hits to something that's deep within us, right? But it's missing something. One of the things that's missing is a campfire, and the other thing that's missing is other people sharing stories. And also, in order to create some of these stories that are shared, people need to have an imagination. They can come up with the stuff and share it and that sort of thing. So it's like there's still creative people in the world who are creating amazing content, which is why we like to consume a lot of this stuff. But I'm interested in turning that corner from being someone who is consuming this incredible content to being someone who is creating new content, right? Doing that with the podcast. But I want to do that with other things. I'm working on a video game right now of my own where it's like the more I get into it, the more I realize like, oh, I need imagination here to make this work, because you have to think, you'd imagine the like, who are these characters and what is the story and what is the environment that they would be in, like to make this a cohesive thing that makes sense, and it becomes something that you are less about like it's mine, but more something that you want to share with others, and you want, you know, others to, you know, experience this thing that you've created. So there's always going to be plenty of people that watch TV and watch, you know, content and YouTube and movies and all this kind of thing, you know, and I'm going to be one of them to an extent. You know, I still like appreciate art, and I still appreciate creations that come from other people's imagination, you know, but I have to make more space for myself to create and experience and even learn, like I said, with the tutorial fallacy. So this conversation around YouTube, you know, I already made an episode about how I believe search engines are overrated. It's kind of a similar thing where it's like you don't need to visit a million websites. Like, you know, that really, like, you can, I don't know what the magic number is, but I imagine most people could easily stay with under 100 for their whole life and be fine. You know, maybe that number is even lower. And so you're sort of like, it's more about like the search engines than the sites, right? Like, I don't want to give like a number of like websites you should have, but like, or you should use. It's more just the act of searching for something on a search engine, whether it's like the main ones or whether it's YouTube, happen to be owned by the same company, I guess, however that works. But there is like a space from when you want to search for something to where you can actually sit with it a little bit and think about, you know, what solutions that you can come up with, and identify where your gaps in knowledge are and have a better strategy for what you're actually trying to learn. You know, there's just that's just a thing that I think about. Same thing with YouTube, you know. It's a difficult thing. I'm not sure if I will ever like 100% quit it, but I certainly want to use it much less. Unfortunately, the downside is like, because it's the cheapest and easiest and quickest way, I guess, to upload video to the internet, as far as most people know, it hosts, you know, holds all the content. Like, people and creators, in my opinion, need to start uploading their videos elsewhere. Like, even if they upload to YouTube, they should also upload to at least one other platform. Like, the sort of exclusively uploading to YouTube thing is something like, it's just, if you search any video, you know, something that's video content, like there's a huge chance it's going to be on YouTube before it gets on any other platform. This goes for all types of video content. And it's something that I'm hoping changes, right? Like you're starting to see more YouTubers create sort of video content in concert with existing brands, like existing, could be magazines or even like, you know, television stations, where they'll create a show for that, right? And there'll be an app specifically for that network, and so you can watch that. But a lot of the times what happens is, like, when the YouTubers will make content for these platforms, it becomes like very highly produced sort of television format. And I think that these companies are missing out. I think this idea of a highly produced television show is not necessary. You know, what's necessary is good content from good creators. So you don't need to take the content that someone has created on YouTube and then bring it over to your, you know, your brand and turn it into something else. I think you just need to invite that content onto your platform. So I'm hoping to see more of that. Like, what I would love to see is like an app that's just like car repair videos, right? Like any sort of segment, and some company out there just do a deal where these YouTubers can keep putting their content on YouTube, but they also put the content on your platform at the same time. And then there's like a monthly fee or subscription service or something like that. You know, maybe even like do a deal where they get some percentage ownership of it so that we can have more choice. Because right now it feels very monopolistic the way that YouTube has like really serves most of the video content on the web at this point. It's like, I don't even think it's close. I don't know the numbers, but I would love to start seeing people upload somewhere else. You know, the users are on YouTube, which is why people go there, and you know, they're gonna get, I guess, more views by doing that. And you have to do what you want to do. Like, if you're, depending on what your career goals are, and if you're a YouTuber and you want to make YouTube, like, do that. But I'm just saying, I would love to see people who are at least posting on at least two platforms, same video, same content, just to give people a chance to view content somewhere else. So we'll see how it goes. It is quite interesting. You know, it used to be that cable and normal TV sort of segmented its content based on their channels. Like, you know, MTV was all about music television, and that was just music videos and award shows and things like that. And then, you know, you would have like car channels dedicated to car content and sort of talk show style stuff on another, sports, you know. So there is like, generally, this is a weird thing happening where like there are little apps popping up, right? Like you have your Hulus and your Disney Pluses and all this kind of stuff. But they're also doing these combo deals. It's just, I'd like to see more siloed content for vertical, like you would call like sort of vertical market style content, available in separate applications. I don't know if that's going to happen. YouTube makes me think in a way that they're trying to like slow down the amount of people uploading, or maybe even slow the amount of people using the platform, because the policies that they've been putting into place don't seem like super customer friendly or customer focused. And maybe it's because they're not making as much money as people think they are. I think they're sort of heavily subsidized. I don't know what I'm talking about, but maybe this is interesting. I would love to hear like what you guys think about YouTube, and you know, if it's possible to get rid of it, you know, to quit it or not. and just what your general thoughts are. So I'll post a question on Spotify. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcast, please leave a like, or not a like, a five-star review, and just give me your thoughts, things that you're interested in me talking about, and all that wonderful stuff. So hope this was interesting for you. Take care.